Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Now it is that time once again. Every single Wednesday, we talk health matters. And I must say, I really, really enjoy this time. It's very relatable. And I think what I truly love is everything literally comes down to our level. Now today, we're talking about family health. And let's understand more about health, what health actually means in the family context. We perhaps don't focus too much on family health as a whole, and we usually focused on personal health goals, but it's really important to prioritize health within your family. Now, some interesting facts or stats that you might want to hear. There's research to show that just one regular family meal a week can help protect kids' mental health. Also, family connectedness isn't just nice to have. It's been linked to lower rates of depression and suicide risk in adolescents. So can we learn about family health today? Of course we can. And who better to help us with that other than Charlene Naidu from Wellbeings Africa. Charlene, good afternoon and welcome back.
Good afternoon, Luco. Thank you, as always, for that warm welcome. It's good to be here.
Good to have you back. I must say, when I went through those stats, I really, really understood, because I think ultimately we all have that sense of, I don't want to say wanting to belong, but groundedness. We all want to be grounded. And I can imagine that on a higher scale for the little ones. And what better way to do that than to sit around a table and have a meal together? I really believe that it would ground the kids more, I must say.
And it's such a simple thing if you think about it, because it's just a meal together, but it actually has so many long-term benefits and good outcomes for kids as they're growing up, but also just as a family unit. You know, it's such a special time, but it's such a quick and simple thing that you can do that you actually, I think we probably don't even think that it could be beneficial.
I can only imagine. Now let's start here. Family health. What do you mean? Is that about eating healthy, kids, vaccinations, etc.? What is it?
I think when we think about family health, we probably think about all those, the big things, right? Like the good nutrition, vaccinations, definitely. But actually, you know, family health is about that overall well-being of everyone in the household. Mm. So it's not just about eating healthy or exercising. It's the combination of all the elements of physical health, mental health, and that is good nutrition. It is regular exercise. It's getting your health checks. It's about a safe living environment, you know, something, again, that I think we probably don't really think about. But let's look at nutrition, for example, because you spoke about, you know, sitting around a dinner table. Yeah. And if you think about it, family health often starts there, because what everyone eats, from a child to an adult, it affects their growth, their energy, their immunity, their long-term health. And those recent statistics show that there's a growing number of children who are overweight or obese, actually. And there's an element there to suggest that teaching children good nutritional habits as a family, that can go such a long way in helping children who are at risk of obesity. Mm. And the same with exercise. If you as a family, if you make exercise a priority, it basically contributes to the family's well-being.
Yeah, so I can imagine.
I think of it as like, you know, family health is the umbrella. And underneath that umbrella is everything that keeps your loved ones safe, keeps them strong, and keeps them healthy.
Very interesting. Now, what are some common family health issues that we don't really consider?
Yes, this is an important one, because I think, again, most people immediately think of obvious things like, are my children eating enough vegetables? Mm. Okay. You know, does everybody have their vaccinations, or I'll take you to the doctor when you're sick, that kind of thing. Mm. But there are a lot of hidden health issues, I think, that families often overlook. Let's take something as simple as preventative care, okay? So this can easily slip through the cracks. Now, and you probably can attest to this, Luco, you know, you've got kids. When everyone seems healthy, it's easy to forget or postpone those routine checkups, right?
Yep.
Okay. And that goes for adults as well. It's not just for children, because you might be due for a checkup at the dentist, but you feel okay, you're fine. So you're like, it's fine, I'll skip it for now. And then it becomes a month, it becomes 2 months, it becomes 3 months.
Becomes years.
It becomes years. Okay, I didn't want to go. Sorry.
I think I'm a culprit.
Exactly. Okay, so you might really postpone it for a long time because you feel okay. And the same thing goes with having an eye test or monitoring your blood pressure. But if you keep up with those checks, now you can catch those so-called small health issues early, and that makes a huge difference later. So these are things like that kind of go under the radar as these hidden health issues that families overlook. And I think also, like, when it comes to physical activity, right?
Mm-hmm.
You may talk about getting fit, but how often do families actually make exercise a priority?
Hmm.
I'm not calling anyone out.
I feel called out already.
No, but I think it's something we all are guilty of.
Yeah.
Something else worth mentioning is that those intergenerational health habits or lack of it, it gets sneaked in and it gets passed on to kids. And it's often completely unconscious. But children are incredibly observant, okay?
Yeah.
They don't just listen to what you say, they copy, they replicate what they see you do every day. So if we look at eating habits, for instance, maybe as parents, you don't really have time for breakfast, or you tend to rely on fast food because life is hectic.
Mm.
So children start to absorb that behavior as the default. So they don't see the planning and the balance or the nutrition that goes into meals. They see what's convenient and tasty, and that becomes their norm.
Mm.
And over time, these small choices can add up. And it quietly starts to shape their lifelong health habits.
Yeah.
So that's what we mean when we talk about those little intergenerational health habits that can just creep into your family's well-being.
Here's another one. Routines. I know I stressed so much about this one, particularly from one thing, the fact that my kids had no sleep routine. And for me, that was, especially in the evenings, I remember engaging with my house executive. And I said to her, listen, she really didn't understand why I want my kids to go to bed at 7 or at 8. I mean, she would allow them to, even if they're awake at 11 o'clock, it's fine. And I was like, no, but you need to have a certain structure and routine for children. Just for, like, for me, I believe it's for their health. I'm like, when they get up in the morning, they're going to feel fresher. They're going to feel different. But if you give them a late night, you kind of mess up the next morning. She just couldn't get it. Now, speaking of routines, are there any daily routines that make a big difference to a family's long-term health?
Yes, Lugo. So definitely there are daily routines that can make a big difference. I think first you as a family, you need to take a beat and decide, look, what do we prioritize? What's important to us? It could be that there's a family history of a medical condition like diabetes or heart disease. So your priority then is that you want to focus on managing your risk, whether it's through fitness and nutrition. So whatever the routines will be stems from your long-term goals. Now, when it comes to routines, we don't just mean exercising together as a family,
mm-hmm.
or making sure you all eat that one meal together. It's also about strengthening your family bonds through good communication, taking care of your mental health by talking through issues. And, you know, even just 5 minutes of conversation at the end of the day, it can really teach children emotional awareness, and it can give everyone a sense of being, of feeling supported.
Yeah.
So when we talk about these routines, that magic really happens when these routines, it's not like once every 3 months. It's part of a larger family health strategy, to sound super technical about it. but it really does create this culture of wellness in your family, where you each feel like we are really prioritizing our health. We're supporting each other and we're in it for the long term. So it's not just because, yes, we feel like, fitness is important. It's fitness is important because this is the greater outcome of it.
Yeah.
So these routines will really depend on, it will really be led by what you prioritize as a family.
Interesting. And while we're at this routines subject, what about parents who just don't have time to create those routines? What do we do?
Oh my gosh, the eternal conundrum. because this is so relatable, yes. So to this, I would say focus on micro routines, okay? Forget the big complicated plans and each month we're going to do this. Just go small and mm-hmm. build from there, okay? So parents are rushing every day. There's no time for a little morning routine. That's fine.
Yeah.
In the afternoons or evenings, find that 5 to 10 minutes of pockets of time, basically, that can make a big difference. So whether it's going for a walk, playing outside, or just sitting down for 10 minutes and catching up about your day, okay? If you're driving your child to school, rather than listening to the radio, I mean, you could listen to an audiobook, you can listen to a health podcast together while you're driving. And it's such a nice way also to get children involved in, like, just say you're listening to a health podcast.
Yeah.
You know, get them involved on the topic and say, what does this mean to you? And do you understand, like, the value of that? When you're preparing meals, you know, you can get children involved in that. It's such a nice way to teach them about nutrition.
Mm.
So, yes, I understand not having the time. I think that will always be a problem. But similarly, there will always be opportunities to kind of to find those little snippets of time for those small micro routines and habits.
Yeah. I must say, Charlene kind of said, instead of listening to radio, no, you must listen to Charlene and I on radio.
Together. Just go to the website, download the podcast, and keep it for your daily commute.
Definitely. Now, talking about those shared family meals we spoke of earlier on, what exactly do they help with?
Yeah, so I love this idea because I think it's one of those deceptively simple things, but it delivers so many more benefits than most people realize. Because you've got to eat, right? So it's that time where everyone gets to sit down and eat and talk together. But you're just shifting the focus a little bit. So instead of everybody grabbing a plate and sitting in front of the TV or everyone going into their own little, you know, like some people eat while watching TV or on their phones or something like that. So you're just shifting the focus to saying, okay, we're all going to sit around the table and we're just going to have this time to put down the screens. We're going to talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a simple way to model better eating habits because there's actually research that shows that children who regularly eat with family, they are more likely to eat. They're more likely to meet their daily fruit and vegetable recommendations.
Hmm.
And they're less likely to develop unhealthy eating habits later. Okay?
Okay.
So you get to chat to each other. How was your day? What did you do at school? What's happening at work? Is there anything new and interesting happening? And if your children are old enough, you know, you get to engage them in the world around you. You can talk about what's happening in the world in an age-appropriate way, of course.
Of course.
But it's honestly such an invaluable time because you really get to bond together as a family. And you bond together in that way that really enhances your well-being. And everybody comes away feeling better for having spent that 30 minutes, 45 minutes together.
Oh, man. Now, here's another one. Practical ways that families can support children's mental health at home. I remember we spoke more along these lines a couple of months ago. And you know how we ignore or are absolutely nonchalant about our children's mental health. And we think, you're just a child, what's stressing you? But they go through their own mental issues as well.
Absolutely. And I think here, you know, you've got to think about modeling the behavior you want to see.
Mm.
A lot of family health elements stems from that. You know, it's very easy to say, you know, eat your vegetables or go exercise for 30 minutes. But if you're not doing it yourself, you know, your kids don't really have a good example to follow.
Yeah.
So the same thing with mental health, Luca, because it's all well and good to say, yes, I do ask my children how they're doing all the time.
Mm.
But what then? What happens next? Do they open up? Are they actually sharing? Are you getting honest answers? I mean, if your child is a preteen or a teenager, a lot of them tend to climb up and they'll be like, I'm fine.
Exactly.
So what actually is happening after that, though? There isn't really a follow-up if you think about it.
Mm.
So kids, again, we go back to this thing, they watch everything, they see everything, they're very observant. And if you want them to share honestly, then they need to see you doing it too.
Yeah, that's true.
Again, look at like super, you know, age-appropriate ways, talking about your own day, mention how you're feeling without oversharing, you know, your adult concerns, and basically just showing them what healthy emotional expression looks like. Okay.
Yeah.
I also want to say it also means proving that when you do share, you're actually listening. And
yes, please.
Speak about this. Yeah, you're not rushing to solve the problem, to criticize or to minimize whatever they're saying. Because children sometimes just want to feel heard.
Mm.
And if you don't know how to respond, that's fine also, okay?
Yeah.
You can just say, I don't have the answer right now, but I'm glad you told me. And that's just a way that, you know, it builds trust between you and your child. And then you just stay consistent with doing it. It comes back to the routines, you know, do it not once every 2 months, but consistently.
Yeah, yeah.
It builds that routine of healthy family communication.
As you're speaking about that communication and just not listening because you want to respond, you're reminding me, a friend of mine's going through something right now. And he gave me a call and he wanted some advice. We always, you know, engaged on that level. But weird enough, he says at the end of the conversation, oh, look, see, I know, I've always known how much you ground me. I just needed to get your counsel. And weird enough, the route that he's currently taking with this issue, because he wanted a bit of more legal advice and whatnot based on my knowledge on the issue. And I spoke and he said, okay, no, you just really spoke some sense. And I was like, I just confirmed the route you had already started taking, because he was literally on the right track with it. But I think he's also not sure where to from here. And I think, you know, after that conversation, I thought to myself, Charlene, it's important really that we adopt the culture of, I'm not engaging with you, Charlene, because I know it all. I want to hear, and I think that's how we need to deal with our children. I want to hear where your headspace is at. If I can advise, I love how you said it, then I will. But sometimes I won't have the answers, and it's absolutely okay.
Yes, exactly like you said, you know, listen to understand, not just to immediately respond.
Mm.
And I think to your point about your friend, a friend of mine actually said something super similar to me recently, that, you know, it's so nice to have those friend conversations where you leave having learned something.
Mm-hmm.
So you got it. You didn't have the conversation just to say what you know, but it's
exactly
about putting forward like whatever it is you're thinking about. Like your friend was obviously grappling with something, and I think he probably just needed to hear himself say everything out loud.
Yeah,
because he already kind of knew what he needed to do, and he just needed someone that he trusted to confirm it.
Exactly.
So that's kind of along the lines that you went on, and then he left with that affirmation and that confidence, okay, this is the way that I need to go.
Mm.
But I really think, I know it's a popular saying, but it's so true, like listen to understand, not just to respond.
To respond. Now, how about extended families, Charlene, or even caregivers? How much do we manage family health when there are other people who are helping take care of the kids or who are just taking care of the kids?
That is a big one, because health habits, they don't live in a bubble, right?
Mm.
And you know, children often spend a good chunk of their time with grandparents, with the nanny, with caregivers, aunties, uncles. So the truth is, and I think families' long-term health goals can get very confusing.
Mm-hmm.
It can fall by the wayside if everyone is pulling in different directions.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even have to be just extended family. It could be just you and your partner. Like, you've got different points of view and you've got different ways of looking at things. So communication is definitely important over here. Because if your child spends a lot of time, say, with the grandparents, then you need to make sure that they are on the same page about what you as a parent value and prioritize.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't help if you've said to your children, look, we are not doing sugary drinks on the weekdays, okay? Mm-hmm. But then they go over to granny and grandfather's
happens a lot.
Right? Again, not calling anybody out here, but we know it happens. So, I mean, they go over there and, you know, everything is just, there's no rules, there's no boundaries. But then at your house, you're trying to install these better eating habits.
Mm.
So you've got to make sure, okay, look, your caregiver, the grandparents, whoever it is, everybody's on the same page and everybody knows the goal, okay?
That
is about just long-term health. We're not trying to just do it for the sake of doing it. We really want our kids to be healthy. We want to be healthy. We want to manage our health conditions. So it's not about controlling every detail. Just create that consistency so your child feels secure, your child knows what to expect, no matter who they're with, whether it's you or with the caregiver.
Oh, man. I know this one very well. And I think sometimes I'm that parent. I know what's right, but sometimes I act like the granny. Just the other day, I had forgotten to get some snacks for my little ones on Monday. And on my way to school, I stopped by at the local spa and I got them just yogurts, which usually they take a yogurt and a fruit. And only on Friday, they'll take like a packet of chips. But I went and I bought them a packet of chips and a yogurt on a Monday, imagine. And they were crying and screaming for sweets.
Okay.
They were crying and screaming for sweets, not me, on a Monday morning, still taking them to school, buying them stick sweets. And they got to school sticky.
It happens. It happens. I mean, what are you going to do, right? It's the 80% versus 20%. 80% of the time you're sticking to your routines and what's good. But
But Charlene, tell me, what about parents who themselves are actually struggling with their health? What then?
Oof, this I think is so, so important. It's also, again, something recently, like I've noticed, you know, parents themselves, they're stressed, there's illness, there's burnout.
Mm.
And you've got to acknowledge your limits and be honest, both with yourself and your family, okay?
Mm.
If you are going through an illness, I think it's important to say, I'm not feeling my best right now. I need to make some changes. And it shows your children the importance of self-awareness and it reiterates to them, look, it's okay to ask for help.
Mm.
So I think, you know, you might not be able to completely change your diet or commit to going to the gym 6 days a week or completely fix your sleep schedule right away. But again, you can take those small, consistent steps, like saying, okay, we're going to go for a walk after supper. We're going to play outside, you know, after school. We are going to focus on our nutrition for this week. So it's about those small wins that send that powerful message that, look, health is something that we are all working on.
Mm.
Even myself as a parent, you say that. So, and I also think it's important for parents to remember, look, their well-being impacts the emotional climate at home.
Yeah.
Because kids, again, they can sense if a parent is anxious, if they're exhausted, they're not feeling well. So you should, as a parent, you should prioritize your own health. Do not feel guilty about it. And it's one of the easiest ways that you can create a stronger, more stable environment at home.
Mm.
So take care of yourself first. Yes, you have to take care of your children, but your health is also super important. Because if you're not healthy, your children aren't going to be healthy.
Exactly, exactly. Now, what's one thing that all families can start doing right now to improve their overall health?
Okay, I think for this one, let's go super, super simple and say, create a simple family health ritual, okay? Something small, something practical, something consistent that fits your lifestyle right now, okay? So say it is a 10-minute walk after supper. Maybe that's your ritual and you're going to stick to that and you're going to start today. And then you build from there, okay? We're not saying stop at 10 minutes, please. Keep building on from there, okay? It could be your ritual is going to be no phones when we're sitting down for meals.
Mm-hmm.
And you start with that and you build on your health habits onto that. So it's little layers, right? It's little things that you keep creating more of. And it doesn't have to be complicated. I know we say this a lot when it comes to these health chats, but it's so, so true. None of these health habits have to be complex. It doesn't have to cost the earth and the moon.
Okay? Yeah.
It's not about how big the habit, you know, how big it is. It's about consistency.
Yeah.
The way your health gets better is by doing more of the good stuff constantly. So over time, these moments, they stack up and they strengthen not just the physical health, but also your family's emotional connection and the trust and the well-being between you guys. So families who make the time for these small, sustainable moments, they really are building a foundation that will support them, I think, through every stage of life.
Love to hear it. Listen, there is never a moment where I don't get to learn. And I think I don't know for how long I'll call myself a new mom, but as a new mom, I think it's one of the things I look to do, strengthening family. And that, and I think I heard as we're speaking, we're centered a lot also around our children. And I think you see a stable and a healthy family by how happy and stable and grounded the children are. So absolutely love this conversation. I don't know where you get so much wisdom, but listen, kudos to you, Charlene.
Amazing. No, thank you, Luko. And yeah, these conversations are always so interesting because I think you as a parent also, you know, you bring your own context and experience.
Mm.
You're like the on the ground,
No, Charlene, tell me, my sweetheart, where can we get more of this info? Where can we continue to learn?
Yes, please continue your health journey, your family's health journey, actually, at wellbeingsafrica.com. That's wellbeings, one word. And, you know, we have a lot of content there from videos and articles and podcasts and we cover a whole range of contents. It's not just about families and children's health. There's also nutrition and fitness and diabetes and medical conditions. So we always say it, but it's true. It's never too early or too late to start your health journey. So wellbeingsafrica.com.
Thank you so much, Charlene. Have a lovely day further.
Thank you, Luko. Take care.
Tune in to God's Grace. Radiopulpit.co.za. In today's rush world, there is limited time for yourself. Your cell phone, however, is with you all the time. So why not use it? Visit our Radio Pulpit website with your cell phone and restore your soul. There you can find out more about Radio Pulpit, download the Bible to your cell phone, read Word for Today, and you can listen to us online. Just visit www.radiopulpit.co.za, especially developed for your cell phone. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
When the drive gets long, we are there. Listen live to Radio Pulpit on radiopulpit.co.za, DSTV 882 and OpenView 607. Also follow us on our social media, download our app and listen to our podcasts wherever you are. Radio Pulpit, still your daily companion.
Your daily spiritual nourishment. Radio Pulpit 657 AM.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.